The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, though, we move to another story which has made the headlines over the course of the last day or so. Katie, let down at every step, rendered invisible in her own murder. A report has found that the investigation by the PSNI into the murder of showjumper Katie Simpson was a profound failure, characterised by a culture of misogyny and complacency. Well, joining me to discuss this further is James Brannigan, a former PSNI officer who worked on this case and has since set up the Katie Trust. James, good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. What did you think when you saw the report yesterday? You were hardly surprised by much of what was in there, I would imagine.
Now, you're still shocked when you're reading it, when you see the magnitude of what happened on a systemic level across a number of statutory areas, and then within the equestrian sector. I was always aware of what was going to come from the report in relation to the equestrian sector. But it is the police failings, the ombudsman failings, you know, the misogyny that played out, where senior officers giving their accounts of why they wouldn't investigate it based on misogyny approach. You know, it is shocking when you do read it, and it was very hard yesterday to be in Stormont with the family and, you know, what they're going through and the pain they're going through when they read this report of how Katie was failed on so many levels. And as we're seeing in the charity, and we see so many other people are in the same boat.
So you were with the family yesterday, James, were you?
Yeah, I was, yeah. You know, I've been with them since the day and hour I linked in with them over this case, and some of them are working on the charity with me now. But it's just very tough, and, you know, we're going to have an inquest to come, which will then highlight other things. But, you know, it's a constant reminder for the family, but it should be a reminder for everybody that nothing like this should ever happen again.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Creswell, I mean, in the report it is said or suggested that 37 more people have complained about him, but also there's a suggestion that he was in contact with other known abusers too.
Yeah, and it's the concern. I've been in talks for the last number of months with the Horse Racing Ireland, Horse Sport Ireland, and the British Horse Racing Authority, because of what was going on, that I saw what was going on within the equine industry. And it's not to just come down hard on the equine industry. There's some great people in it. Katie loved this industry, but something needs to be done to develop better safeguarding in it, because that's where the fertile ground was for Jonathan Creswell to abuse these victims. And for argument's sake, the prime example is this: when he was locked up for 6 months for a vicious attack on his previous girlfriend, they had the hunt that he was associated to in Armagh had a welcoming home party for him when he got out of jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember seeing that in the documentary that you featured in. It was just quite shocking how he operated with impunity. And, you know, this report says that Katie was invisible in the investigation into her own murder. And I think that's a really telling line, isn't it? That really she seemed to be the last consideration, which is incomprehensible, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, when you look at her murder, and I always go back to this, you look at it at a macro level, she was a semi-naked lady in a car covered in bruises, and the guy driving the car said she's hung herself. You know, at what point do we look at him instead of looking at her? Mm-hmm. And this is what has to change. And in the report yesterday, there's research pointed to in relation to identifying recurring indicators for staged homicides. And it's research done by two researchers, Yifit Bitton and Hava Dayan in 2020. And the six recurring factors all appeared in this case with Katie. And this is research that's available. And in our charity work we're doing, we have over 100 families now, and 25% of our cases have these six recurring indicators in it also. Mm-hmm. They show that they should be treated as homicides. And how do we stop this happening again? That's something we're working on here, and I think we have to be proactive on this and not coming out with the platitudes to the family now. Yes, there's learning from this. No, it needs action, and it needs action very soon.
You went into this case with fresh eyes. I mean, the investigation was already up and running, but it seems to me, from what I know about it, that it was pretty clear to you from the get-go that there was something really very wrong with where the investigation had gone.
Yeah, I was based in Armagh. This happened up in Derry. And when a member of the public came to me, asked me, had I heard about this and to look at it? And as soon as I started looking at basic questions, like any questions a family should have, how did this happen? Where was her phone? How did she do that? Why did he get her down? Why did he not call an ambulance? You know, these are basic questions that an investigator should look at. And when I started looking at it, this is where the intimidation started, from senior officers warning me not to look at it for whatever reason. And that's still being looked at by the ombudsman. But I have to give credit to the uniformed officers on the day. They felt there was something wrong here. They were wanted to their senior officers to look at it. They always thought it was suspicious, but it was the detectives really we're working on the confirmation bias that has been highlighted in this report. And in another bit of research for Dr. Johnson, over 100 hidden homicides, the prevailing factor in those was the performance by the perpetrator. And where you're dealing with a sociopath and they're doing a great performance at that time when police walk in the door, it is the confirmation bias that the police then take on. And that's what happened in this case. It was the confirmation bias with those senior detectives.
And you believe Jonathan Creswell was a sociopath, do you?
Totally, yes. Two social workers were going to meet him, and these social workers had 18 years experience. I asked them to come into my office, let them read a statement from one of his victims. And when they came back, they were shocked. They were saying, James, we would be telling you you've got this all wrong, only for we've read those statements. You know, he just comes across so plausible. And this is the way these sociopaths work. It's all about the image, the narrative, controlling the people around them, and anybody's a threat to them, they will isolate away from them.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Katie's Trust, and I know that you're asking families to get in touch with you. Now, you said that you have 100 cases there so far, so I don't know if you're appealing for more people to come to you and come to the Trust, or is your workload now, are you very stretched with what you have to look at?
Can't turn anybody away. When you see these families and they're lying in the abyss because their loved one has died and it's not been, the questions aren't being answered, they're not being treated as victims. And we're not saying these are all homicides, but families need their questions answered in relation to how loved one died. We definitely need more investigators to work with us. We have pathologists, forensic experts, trauma support individuals, but the one thing with all these cases is more and more investigators, and to work with government as well. The UK government are working with us. I was in Parliament twice last week in the Ministry of Justice. They see the work we're doing. They want me back over to discuss more things to try help their system, and it's not a case of going against the state, the police. We can assist the state. We can save the Department of Justice millions going forward if we sit between, as an independent, impartial charity, between the state and the family, and we get the questions answered for them. But also with families, where we show there's no third party involvement, we get the experts to sit down with the family and show there's no third party involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they need, is it to be
the reassurance,
somebody to listen to them and somebody, yeah, and explain to them why we can show this.
Okay, well, James, it's good to talk to you, and people can do a quick search for the Katie Trust. Two things I want to tell you about if you want to know more about this case. Death of a Show Jumper is a documentary that was made about Katie Simpson and what happened to her. It is a Sky documentary, so you can find it there on Now TV. But also, Katie's aunt Paula Mullen features on today's episode of News Talk Daily. Let's listen to a clip of Paula.
It's not easy. It's not easy, you know, because there's a lot of what ifs. You know, what if the police had listened to us at the start? What if we never had him at the wake, in the wake house, touching her hair, you know, at the funeral, me and chief mourner, them things to haunt a family.
It's an extraordinary story. Well worth a listen. If you want to hear more of that interview, you can find News Talk Daily on Go Loud or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.